So I did a total of 26,700 kilometers in long-haul flights. I did 4,400 kilometers in short-haul flights. 26,800 kilometers in a diesel truck and 4,600 kilometers in a car. I also spent 150 nights in hotels. What does that equal in terms of numbers and emissions of CO2? Hello everyone, welcome to the Fever Talk podcast. My name is Magali Rochette. And it's been a while since I recorded one of the podcasts, but it's because I've been hard at work on a new podcast series about sustainability in cycling. Now, let's address the elephant in the room right away. I'm a professional cyclist, which means that I travel around the world to race my bike. It also means that I get new clothing every year to represent my sponsors and to be able to race. It means that I get a lot of bicycles to be able to do my job. And those bicycles change every year. So, yes, my job requires me to have a pretty big impact on the environment. And it's something that I'm not necessarily proud of, but it's something that if I want to keep doing this job, is kind of part of the game. Now, what's interesting is that the bike, as we all know, the bike has the potential to help all of us in our fight against climate change, because the bicycle is a powerful tool that we can use for transportation that has a much smaller impact than driving cars, for example. I would also argue that being on a bike allows you to be in nature often, see how beautiful nature is, and experience it in a very special and intimate way. And that special connection with nature that the bike allows, I think, can switch something in our brain and make us more keen to conserve places, because we can see just how majestic and beautiful nature is. And so I kind of find this interesting paradox here where the bike has the potential to help all of us go towards a cleaner, greener world. But at the same time, the bike industry does have a lot of impact on the environment. And so I thought, I need to educate myself on this. How can I do better? And how can we as an industry do better? And so it started by me wanting to simply calculate my own footprint for a season of racing. Just to see, okay, what is my biggest impact? Where can I improve? What can I do better? But as I got into it, I really went down a rabbit hole. And the more I knew, the more I learned, the more questions I had. And so this is where this podcast series idea came from. I decided if I'm going to educate myself and ask all of these questions to all of these different people in the industry, might as well share what I'm learning with other people. Because who knows? Maybe you'll listen to this and you'll have an idea. And if you do, maybe please share it with me so then I can also improve. And I think that's what one cool thing about our fight against our fight for like a cleaner, greener world is that we're all on the same team. Everybody on the planet is on the same team. And so it just felt natural to share what I'm learning with all of you. So please know I won't be perfect. And after doing this, I'm not going to stop my job as a professional cyclist. I still want to do it, but what can I do better? And this is the goal of this podcast series. And so I invite you on this journey to learn with me how I can be better, how I can do better, and hopefully how we all can be better. This podcast series is supported by my partner, The Unscented Company. They make home and body care products, and their mission is simple. Basically, what they always say is less is more. Their mission is to simplify our lifestyles and reduce our collective impact. And they are actually the ones who not only allowed me, but also encouraged me to make this podcast series. I shared with them my concerns about my own environmental footprint, and I told them that I wanted to do better and I didn't really know how to do it. And so they really just encouraged me to start learning, because that's the first part if you want to improve. And so thanks to them, I dug into this topic and decided to learn. So this episode and all the episodes in this series will be supported by The Unscented Company. Check them out. They are available in Canada and in the US, and their products are unscented. They are good for your body. They are good for the environment, and it's really worth it. They're really good people. So thank you to everyone at The Unscented Company for supporting this podcast, but also for encouraging me to learn more about this topic that is so important. So the first thing I wanted to do is to calculate my footprint. And already there, I found an obstacle. I didn't know how to do it. And I know there are tons of websites online that can help you do it, but not that were as specific as I needed for calculating my footprint as an athlete. So what is a season of racing? A lot of them online, you know, I actually tried some of the platform online, one of them being REN, WREN, which was really good. But it calculates also, you know, your home footprint, and I just couldn't be as specific as I wanted with the travel. You know, how many kilometers did I travel by van that was a diesel, and then how much by a car that was a smaller car with gas, and like the long haul and short haul flights. So it was pretty specific, and as well as all the hotel nights that I spent. So I was kind of confused, and so I reached out to a group that I'm a part of. So I'm an ambassador for Protect Our Winter, which is an environmental foundation, which we'll get back to on a second episode. I have a full episode with someone from Protect Our Winter. But I reached out to the group of all the ambassadors and I asked, like, does anybody know how to do this? And quickly, a lot of the other ambassadors, like, suggested things to me. And one of them was Marion Thénault. So Marion is a ski jumper, acrobatic ski jumper from Quebec. And she was really quick to reply, like, hey, let's jump on a call. Like, I did exactly that, and I want to talk to you about that. So let's hear a little bit from Marion and how she got into it and how she inspired me and actually helped me to understand how to calculate my footprint.
In 2022, I partnered with WSP, an engineering firm, to calculate my carbon footprint and compensate what cannot be reduced. So it's a four-year project from 2022 to 2026, so one Winter Olympic cycle, and we are currently in year two. So every year I'm trying to reduce with what I learned from the year prior. So first step is we had to decide what did we want to quantify. Because for an individual, you have travels, accommodation, and food. They're the main sources of emission. Okay. And then my project is related to my sport. I want to quantify my season, whereas I did not necessarily want to quantify me as a person, but more me as an athlete.
Yeah.
So we decided to focus on travel. So there's air travel and ground travel, mm-hmm. and accommodations. Accommodation, it really depends on where you are in the world, how the electricity is produced, and how the services are led to you.
Okay.
Then there's a database of, you can approximate all of that in, like, what is the emissions associated to one day in a hotel in a specific country.
Okay.
So it's an approximation of three meals a day plus the electricity you use for heating and lights. And okay. So there's like a table that you can see for which country, what is the emissions related to one day in a hotel. So we use that for accommodations.
And Mario and her team decided to leave food behind because She explained to me that it's really complicated to calculate the food because you not only have to calculate the food that you consume, but also how you manage the waste. Whether you compost, whether you recycle, or whether you just throw the food away, the emissions are different. And to calculate that correctly, you have to weigh all of your trash. And Marion and her team decided that this was a little too much for her. And I agree. It is also a little too much for me to calculate, start weighing all of my trash. And so I decided to do just like Marion and focus on the travel and the accommodation. So now for the calculation. I'll try to save you some time. It actually took me a really long time to crunch the numbers because at first I had to find all the data, but luckily Marion helped me. So basically how it works, there's a few categories. There's plane, there's driving, there's accommodation, and then there's consumption, which we'll come back to later. So planes, you have long haul or short haul flights. You also have to say which class you're taking the flight. So are you economy, are you business, are you premium economy? And for each of these things, so let's say for long haul, premium economy, there is an emission factor. This emission factor is basically a quantity of CO2. So it's calculated, it's a number that it's the number of kilogram of CO2 per passenger per kilometer. So once you have that, basically what you have to do is just calculate your full distances. So let's say the total distance that I did in a year in long haul flights in premium economy and the total amount of kilometers I did short haul flights in business or whatever.
And it's also important to know if you're traveling in economy or business, because again, the emissions are different because they are divided by the number of passengers and the number of space and the weight they occupy.
Okay, so yeah, if you have business, it's like three people. It's like the equivalent of more space.
Exactly. So yeah, your emissions for one flight are actually much higher.
And then the same thing goes for driving, whether it's diesel or gas and which motor you have, there is also an emission factor. So basically, once you have that number, all you have to do is calculate your distances in all of these categories and crunch the numbers with the emission factor, and eventually you get your totals. So let's go into the interesting stuff. What were my numbers for the year? So I did a total of 26,700 kilometers in long-haul flights. I did 4,400 kilometers in short-haul flights. I then did 26,800 kilometers in a diesel truck and 4,600 kilometers in a car. I also spent 150 nights in hotels. What does that equal in terms of numbers and emissions of CO2? Well, first let's go with the individual. So for me, for just me, Magali, what was it? It turns out it was 13 ton of CO2 for my plane travel, 0.4 tons of CO2 for everything I did driving, and 1.31 ton of CO2 for all my hotels night. That's a total of 14.75 tons of CO2 for my full emissions. But then there is something here. Actually, David traveled with me for all of these races because he's there to be my support staff. Now, it doesn't change anything for the hotels because we always slept in the same room. So actually, that doesn't change. The number is the same. So it's still 1.31 tons for the hotels. But he did take his own space in the plane. And I mean, all the numbers that I calculated for the car, I did divided by two just because I was curious to see per passenger. So I just have to double it down. We were two in the car. So that's actually a really good thing. So it turns out that my amount as an athlete also includes my staff person, which is, in my case, pretty lucky because he's my husband. So we actually shared a car and we shared a hotel room. But still, the number increases. So it turns out that in total, our emissions for traveling, so plane, driving, and hotels, comes to 28.2 tons of CO2. That's a lot. Just to put it into perspective, the average Canadian person in a full year will emit 14 tons of CO2. So just with our travels, we double that. And again, this is two people. It's me and David. But the reality is, if it wasn't to help me, David wouldn't be traveling. And so I find it just honest and true to calculate that he was there with me. Which I'll come back to later, but actually brings me a question. Like, I have one staff. We take the same car all the time. We share the same room. But some teams have multiple staff per rider. So when you think about that, one rider's emission is actually a lot more than just his own travel. It's all the people that are traveling for to help him that wouldn't be going to the bike race if it wasn't for him. So it just makes me think, like, that's my emission, which is really big for a one-person team with one staff. But what would it be for a full team that have sometimes more staff than riders? Now, I don't want to point fingers here. Like, we're all in the same boat. I'm just asking the questions. It just makes me realize how crazy our impact is. And here, just so the final number makes sense, that we know exactly what we're talking about, that 30-something tons that I emitted through my travel and bringing David with me for racing. The travel here, we're talking about a full year, so the 2023 year from January 1st to December 31st. And you know, the emission is a lot, but actually it wasn't crazy travels. It's actually 5 flights over the pond. So basically that's going to Europe 2 times back and forth and 1 return flight. So it's not crazy. It's going to Europe 2 or 3 times. And there's 18 short flights, but some were connections. So it's actually 6 trips in North America. So it's not crazy. Like, it's a total of 8 trips for the whole year. And it's already that big. So I just wanted to say that to know what we're talking about. It's not like I'm flying 40 times, you know, over to Europe. It's literally 2 to 3 times to Europe, 6 trips within North America. And already with that, twice as much emission as an average Canadian. So after calculating my footprint of all the travels that I do in a year, I realized that that's not the only impact that I have as a pro cyclist. I mean, I consume, although I don't buy much in my normal life, I actually consume a lot of goods because of my job. So every year I get a lot of new bicycles. To be exact, I get between 8 and 10 new bicycles every year. Why do I get so many? Well, I want to be fully transparent in this podcast, so here we go. So I get 4 cyclocross bikes. I get 1 mountain bike, 1 road bike, 1 gravel bike. So that's already 7. And we usually get 1 for David. So like that's, yeah, quickly comes to between 8 and 10. And one of the reasons why they change every year is that if the models are changing every year, well, I'm here to represent. So I need to have the newest model, but also I need to have a bike that's in a perfectly working conditions because it's part of the success, whether I win or not. So we always have the newest equipment, the newest bikes on top of the bikes. I also get a lot of wheels, tires, helmets, shoes, clothing that are changing mostly every year. I try to carry over as much as I can for the next year, but the reality is if I want to do a good job, represent my sponsor. So here I actually had no clue how to calculate all of that. And so I reached out to Canyon, who is my bike sponsor, and I asked, how do I calculate the footprint of one bicycle? And so I got to speak with Yvonne, who is the Global Director for Environmental and Social Governance at Canyon. I asked her, how does it work? What's involved in calculating the footprint of a bike? Can you help me with all of that? And she was super kind. So let's hear what Yvonne has to teach us about how to calculate the footprint of a bike, what are the factors that are involved in it, and what what are they working on to improve as an industry? So first, I guess, would you be able to introduce yourself and tell us what is your role at Canyon, please?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Magali, for having me. I'm very excited to be on your podcast. My name is Yvonne. I'm the Global Director for Environmental and Social Governance at Canyon. And I'm basically in charge of all the environmental and social topics, the strategy, the implementation of improvement methods. And yeah, that's basically the role I'm having.
So when I first spoke to Yvonne, she told me that the emission of one bicycle, and that's a complete bike, so with wheels and group set and all of that, is between 140 and 400 kilogram of equivalent of CO2 per bicycle. So that means that for me, who has 8 to 10 bicycle, I'm around just a little over 1.5 tons of equivalent CO2 emissions for all of my bicycles. And she taught me that the difference between 140 and 400 kilograms is usually different in weight and different in material for each bike, meaning that high quality, like top bikes, the ones that I'm using, are lighter and probably using a little bit less, probably emitting a little bit less CO2 than heavier bikes. But let's hear more from her.
What's maybe important to understand is that we measure to reduce. That's our goal, and that's why we're also looking into all the details.
Yeah.
But in general, we calculate our emissions at company level. So we measure, for example, the emissions caused by waste, the transport of our products, and other business activities such as employee commutes, business trips, purchased electricity, company vehicles, and the heating of our buildings. The production of a bicycle obviously plays an important role in the equation. The emissions of a bike are mainly determined by the materials used and the weight.
Okay.
So you could say that heavier bikes require more material and therefore usually have a larger footprint. And the range you mentioned, to put this one a little bit into perspective, the 140 to approximately 400 kilograms of CO2 equivalent per bike, the average Canadian citizen emits around 14 tons CO2 per year.
Wow, that's crazy. And so, yeah, you mentioned then that the amount that we talked about, like 140 to 400, that's mostly the equivalent in CO2. So does this take into account only CO2, or is it maybe also like other things that are involved in their production, like water or waste or energy? Like, is that also taken into account? That's how it works?
Well, again, here we have to consider the why. That's very important. Again, okay. We measure to reduce. So that's always the main goal.
Yeah, because and then you can understand where you can reduce. Like if you know what are
exactly.
If you know what is the footprint, where it comes from, that's how you can reduce.
So when we take now our CO2 equivalent footprint, we include all the greenhouse gases, because they're all important for climate change, of course. So we not only account for the CO2 emissions, but also, for example, the methane and hydrofluorocarbons and all the other greenhouse gases that drive climate change. And also energy sources are emitting greenhouse gases, both during production and combustion. And thus, these are also considered in our calculations.
Okay.
And you asked about additional things we measure. We measure not only greenhouse gases, but also the water consumption of Canyon-operated locations. And of course, again, with the goal to reduce our water consumption.
I mentioned that Yvonne is responsible of environmental and social governance at Canyon. And so when I initially approached her, I was only focused on environmental questions. But then she was quick to tell me, like, but do you also want to talk about human rights? Because that's also something that we consider. It's something that I admittedly had not thought about at all. But then Yvonne said, well, there's the how we build bikes, but there's also who builds them.
Mm-hmm. So we decided to dig into that because we care about respect for human rights and safe and fair working conditions in our own operations, but also in the supply chain. That's important for us. And as a company, we have due diligence obligations, and they extend also to the human rights area. That's also why we implemented a human rights due diligence process and a supporting human rights program. And we have a dedicated human rights manager who is driving this approach. And I can outline a little bit the key elements of the process and the supporting program. We implement throughout our supply chain human rights policies, and they outline clearly the requirements that we have towards partners in the value chain concerning working conditions. And we also conduct yearly and ad hoc risk assessments. And these risk assessments are then followed by social audits in line with the findings of the risk assessment. Social audit means that an independent service provider sends a social auditor to a factory, and this auditor checks the conditions in the factory. Mm. And the result of the audits are then transformed into corrective action plans with clear improvement steps to remediate the audit findings. And of course, the key goal of all this process is that we establish with our partners a continuous improvement process and implement good practices to reduce the risk of future findings.
Cool. And has that been well received from the suppliers and like the factories and stuff?
Well, what you can clearly see is that you have a lot of benefits if you have good working conditions in a factory.
Wow, that's nice to hear. There was one more question that I wanted to ask Yvonne. The first time I spoke with Yvonne, she talked to me about a pyramid. The pyramid goes reuse, then reduce, then recycle or downcycle. Meaning that the best thing you can do for the environment is first to reduce your consumption. Second, if you are still consuming, then maybe you can reuse it, meaning can you repair the bike? Can you just reuse it for longer? And lastly, if all of that is not possible, then you can recycle or downcycle, meaning that some parts of the bikes might be turned into something else, or some may be recycled, some may be downcycled, or not at all. Which brought me to the question of repairability. And Yvonne talked to me about how companies in the cycling industry are now challenged to build bikes with repairability in mind.
So we design our bikes with durability in mind, mm-hmm, to prevent from scratch the need to repair. I think that's important to keep in mind. And repairability in the end is a challenge we have to tackle as a bike manufacturer together with the whole industry.
Yeah. So like really a collaboration with, as you said, like with the whole cycling industry, like with all the even the other cycling brands then.
Exactly.
So with the information that I got from Yvonne, I now need to update my total amount of emissions. I have between 8 and 10 bicycles per year. My bikes are usually the lightest ones, so I think closer to the 140 kilograms of CO2 per bike. But I also, you know, have helmet and shoes and clothing. So I use the 140 kilograms times 10. Let's say I have 10 bikes. It's not always the case. Sometimes I have less, but 10 would be the maximum. So that's 1.4 tons. And I decided to add another ton to that just because of the clothing and other equipment. To be honest, I wasn't able to calculate that. So I just added one ton here. But it could be a mistake. So my total is actually closer to 30.4 tons of CO2 emissions per year. Ouch. To put this number into perspective, I did some quick research on our friend Google and realized that the average Canadian or American person emits around 14 tons of CO2 per year total. I have also read that to stay on track for an average global temperature rise of 1.5 degrees Celsius, the average emissions for each human on Earth need to be 2.1 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent per year by 2030. So right now, I'm 15 times higher than that. And what is interesting in this fight is that we're all on the same team. And so each human has an allowed amount. And some of us use a lot more than others of us. And it's not necessarily fair that some people should be allowed to emit more than others. So 2.1 tons is what we would all be, what everybody would be allowed. But right now, in the richest country, people are emitting a lot more than in the poorer countries. So actually in the poorer countries, they would be allowed to increase their emission if they had to reach the 2.1 tons. But some of us in the richer countries would need to reduce by 97% or even more to reach our allowed amount. Now, if you would be interested in calculating your footprint, you don't have to go through all the Excel files that I went through with the carbon emissions. Some of the websites are actually pretty good at calculating. And I did a test just to see. Just to compare, I actually used the website wren.co, so ren.co, just to see, you know, how what I calculated, if it made sense. And it's very similar with the numbers that I put in their website. It told me that our transport average for our family, so for David and I, is 30.9 tons. According to them, what I was missing for like a full normal life would be 3.8 tons for home and pets, 3 tons for diet, and 1.4 ton for energy. So it's actually a little higher than 30, but just to keep it simple for this podcast, I will talk about the athlete part, which is 30.2 tons. And if we look at the average, because the true reason why I did that is I wanted to see what was my biggest impact, to see how I could improve. And so 86% of my emissions come from planes, 3% come from driving, 4% for accommodations, and 7% for consumption. So now that I know that, I'm better equipped to know how I can improve. One of the other good things about seeing all this data was that I can now see what is the difference between, for example, flying or driving somewhere. And of course, this difference is really affected by the number of passengers that are in the car or in the plane. Marion did the math and explained to us what she found.
And what's important to know too is that it really depends on the number of passenger. Like, let's say to do a Quebec-Montreal, if you're alone in a car, your emissions per person are higher than if you're in a plane that is full.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's
so
crazy.
Of course, there's more emissions if you take the plane, but if you divide by the number of passenger, considering the plane is full, which is not always the case, then you have more emissions for traveling alone. But if you're two passengers in a car or two or more passengers, then this is the best way, let's say, to travel from point A from point B.
Since Marion was already in the second year of her project, I asked her what does she do with all the data that she receives, you know? Was she able to make any changes, or what did she do with it?
Like, there is the whole environmental side, but there's also logistics and money, and like there's so many factors to consider, and that's when it gets hard to apply to our daily lives, and everybody's facing the same challenge, I think. Mm-hmm. But like, one thing I had is like, let's say in the petition that we wrote for FIS, then at least you have data to say like air travel is the main main source of emissions for athletes. So just by doing this tour in a way that is logical and follows a path, then this is a great way to reduce your emissions. And we're at a time that every single organization and company needs to reduce their emissions, and they're all aware of that. Mm-hmm. So to have data to back up the suggestions, I think, is important. Yep. So that's one way that the data was useful.
Maria also shared with me that through her project of trying to reduce her footprint and talking about this project, she actually got a sponsorship from an electric car company. And so it was interesting to me to kind of hear a concrete example that, yes, there are actions that you can make on your own that might have a little impact on emissions. But by talking about it like Marion did, well, you share a message, and that can also have an impact, either by sharing ideas with other people and inspiring maybe other people. But also in this case, I mean, she actually got an electric car. And so instead of driving all the time with her gas car, well, now she has an electric car, and that can diminish her emissions.
The ways I could reduce my footprint, but it is negligible because air travel is just the main
thing. And now, I mean, as long as you're competing, you have to follow it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the ways I decided to tackle that, let's say, is like, as I'm doing my internship at CAE, they do flight simulators and they train pilots. And their whole mission is about safety and best training technology. And so I'm working on the carbon emissions of the training of the pilots at CAE. Okay. So that's one way to contribute to reducing emissions that are related to the
air travel.
For like, sure. It's not directly. I still take the plane, but if I'm contributing to the system optimization, let's say, well, that's one way to do it. So there's like multiple ways you can look at it.
On my side, I mean, I have to say, my environmental footprint is something that I have been thinking about for a few years already. And we already started to kind of think about which races we choose and how we travel. Actually, even about consumption, last year with my partner Rafa, what we decided to do, instead of getting a new full set of custom kit that I usually do every year, I mean, I still have to represent my sponsor. So I told them that I was kind of uncomfortable getting a new kit every year and all of that, and that I wanted to look at my footprint, and they came up with an idea. So at Rafa, they have excess materials from collections that they did before, and perhaps they printed too much material, but it wasn't enough to create more kits. So they have this excess material, and they say, we've been looking into ways on how we can use this excess material. So we don't actually create new materials for new collections. So what we did is we used their excess material to create my custom kit. So it's full of different colors and it worked perfectly. It was actually one of my favorite kits ever. And Rafa told me that to make this collection, they used about 300 meters of excess materials, meaning that it's 300 meters of material that we didn't have to create more of. So that's already something cool that we did. And I've been really thinking since then about what else can I do for my own consumption or my own traveling. And hopefully throughout this podcast, we find more ideas by talking to people. So now I have the numbers. Now I know what my impact was. Now I know that this really doesn't make me look good at all. But for me, it's all about being transparent. It's about learning and seeing how I can be better. So what did we learn from this first episode? Well, we learned about where my emissions come from. I learned that the plane is definitely the worst thing for me. But I also learned that my consumption is quite big. I guess I knew it, but have it quantified is interesting. And I think to me, all of this proves that taking a moment to calculate our footprint is really powerful, because once we can see how much of an impact we're having compared to, you know, what we should be having, or just have a better perspective, is really powerful in making me motivated to improve. I really enjoyed also hearing from Yvonne, who was speaking about, you know, kind of understanding that the material and the amount of material that is used to make a bike is what increase or decreases the impact. And I loved how she talked about how companies are challenged to design for repairability nowadays, and that the biggest obstacle in that goal of like designing for repairability is standardization. You know, there are so many parts to make a bike, and at least if there's standardization between the bike industry in general, then all of these parts don't become obsolete after a few years. You know, they can be used for repairing a bike few years down the road if all companies use similar parts. So that was really interesting. And I know that we'll get back to that question later in the series. So those were a few of the interesting things. I was also really inspired by Marion, and you'll hear from her again in further episodes, because she also did other really cool stuff that are inspiring me. So later in the episodes, you'll hear from that. But for now, in the next episode, we will be talking with Natalie Knowles, who is a scientist that works at Protect Our Winters. We will speak about I'll ask her about compensating, what she thinks about that. I'll ask her some bigger question about the environment. I'll ask her, what's her opinion? How can I improve? And what can we do as athletes to diminish our impact, or if there is anything that we can do? And so let's hear a little snippet of the next episode.
I think that's where I find the problem with offsets is people go, oh, I can just pay $20 and then not think about it. Whereas this is like, no, I'm part of it and I'm seeing it and I'm actually like, you know, touching the plastic waste, or I'm planting a tree in the ground and I'm interacting with the community that I'm in.
Thank you again to Yvonne. Thank you again to Marion for participating, and thank you for the Unscented Company for helping me on this journey and for supporting this podcast. See you next time, everyone.